welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from Canada, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology, coming to you today from London, Ontario. Her preaching is entitled, The First of Many Wounds.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said, Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, The teacher says, My appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples. The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, Surely it's not I, Lord. He said in reply, He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, Surely it's not I, Rabbi. He answered, You have said so. Before Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday, there is Spy Wednesday. Not a day you'll find named in the lectionary as such, but one marked around the world nevertheless. In the Czech Republic, it's actually known as Ugly Wednesday. In Germany, as Crooked Wednesday. And in Malta, as the Wednesday of Shadows. Regardless of the designation, I'll point back to the gospel of this day, in the middle of Holy Week, in which Judas, one of Jesus' closest friends, betrays him, promising to hand him over to the high priest in return for 30 pieces of silver. It is the singular event that starts the whole story of Triduum rolling. Up until now, it feels like the tension we've heard building in the Gospels the past couple weeks could go either way. Perhaps the crowds that welcomed Jesus into the city will safely usher him out. Perhaps the hoopla around the temple incident will all die down. Perhaps he can yet slip away as he seems to have done several other times in the Gospels when he was cornered. But with Judas's action, the die is cast. And in only two more days, we will hear of Roman soldiers casting their die for the Jesus' garment at the foot of the cross. When we talk about the Passion of Christ, we should probably start the story not with the events of Friday, but with the moment highlighted in today's gospel, when Jesus and Judas both dip their hands into the bowl at the same moment. There will come the pain of the whip and the thorns and the nails, but the first of Jesus's many injuries is the wound to the heart, the moment he realizes that one of his closest friends has turned on him. We'll never really know why Judas did so. Was it for the 30 pieces of silver? Seems unlikely. Was it disappointment that kept Jesus, that Jesus was not the Messiah that Judas had thought him to be? Was Judas the one who actually felt betrayed first by Jesus? Or did Judas maybe think that by handing Jesus over, he would provoke Jesus into action, show who he really was? Thousands of books and songs and poems and works of art theorize on this topic. Yet the mystery of Judas's motivation remains, even as the impact of that betrayal echoes. Perhaps the first of Jesus's many sufferings was the greatest of those sufferings. This is what the innumerable novels and songs and paintings on the theme of betrayal itself would have us believe, that betrayal is one of the most painful things that any human being can experience in life. And for many of us listening, perhaps we don't need novels or lyrics or paintings to tell us this. By this stage in life, many of us have our own stories of spouses who were unfaithful, sisters who broke our confidences, friends who didn't have our backs in the way we thought that they did. If you check psychology sites, betrayal, especially if it happens in childhood, is one of the most common and lasting causes of trauma. Betrayal is hard to bounce back from, hard to forgive. Perhaps it is because betrayal, by definition, takes place with someone you trust. And as the psychologist Erik Erikson notes in his famed 8 Stages of Psychosocial Development, trust is the very first thing we need to acquire as infants in order to make it through the rest of life okay. Trust undergirds everything else, and the loss of trust upends everything else. It makes you wonder what else you might be wrong about, who else you might not really know like you think you do. And the more you trusted the person who betrays you, the greater the internal chaos. Which brings us back to Jesus with his hand in the bowl bumping up against Judas's fingers. We don't know a lot about their relationship, how Judas was called, why he was called. John names him as the treasurer of Jesus's close-knit group of 12. So Jesus trusted him with the group's money, but surely with much more than that. They had slept side by side, prayed together, eaten together, traveled. You know how it is with those you travel with. They see you in the early morning before you've had your coffee. And without a doubt, Judas and Jesus had laughed together, bathed in the river together, lit campfires together, knew each other's families, toasted at many a table. Imagine what surged through Jesus's body when the fingers that had grasped 30 silver coins, now for one final time at table, touched his. The words Jesus spoke the next moment were harsh. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. These sound like the words of someone who's very hurt. And maybe you've said words like that yourself. I wonder if from where he sits now, Jesus would still say those words. And what you would say from where you sit now. The thing I love about Holy Week is that each year, in a world that would like to anesthetize all pain and distract us from every discomfort, we are forced to slow down and look hard at the human condition and the evils we do to each other from 100 different angles, starting with the very human experience of betrayal. And what I hate about Holy Week is that each year, in a world that is good at anesthetizing pain and distracting us from the uncomfortable, we are forced to slow down and look hard at the human condition and the evils we do to one another from 100 angles, starting with the very human reality of betrayal. This Holy Week, we're once again busy. We're trying so hard to return to something called normal, and it would be easy to breeze past the story of Christ's passion and begin dying eggs already. But challenge yourself today to sit for a moment with Jesus's injuries, beginning with the injury of betrayal. There is nothing we go through as humans that he himself has not experienced. No physical pain, but also no emotional pain. And whatever you've been wounded by, he has been wounded by as well. And do not run from that pain this week, but tell him every bit of it, and know he will understand.